1 Timothy 6, verse 9, Jesus was tempted in all ways as we are. And this is one of the ways in which we all are tempted. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. And of course, none of us are determined to be rich, and so that really doesn't apply to us, or does it? The word here, they that are willing to be rich, is 10:14 in the Greek, and I hate to pull the Greek again, but nevertheless, I think it's necessary for us to understand what this warning is. The word is bulimai, which is to will or to be willing. So in 2309, we find this in Romans, the 7th chapter. This word is the word thello, which is in certain tenses, the word to determine. So the 10:14, and in this 2309, it lists the other word as well and compares it. Says 10:14 properly denotes rather a passive acquiescence rather than a willingness in being willing to do something. So the one is a passing acquiescence, which is saying, well, okay, if you push me, I'll agree. That's this word in 1 Timothy 6, verse 9. So someone can push me into it, whereas thello would be, I'm determined that I'm going to get rich. So I'm going to be working on it. So the Lord knows the difference between these two words, and we need to know also those that are determined to be rich, of course, obviously are fully wrong. But this word says if we are willing to be rich. So if we wish we were rich, are we willing to be rich? Even if we don't put much effort toward it, are we wishing that we are rich? That is determined in this scripture. He says, if that's our mind, then we'll fall into these different temptations. If we're determined to be rich, that's a different story. And we're going to do much to get rich if we are determined to get rich. But if we're just willing to be rich, we won't do much toward it, but that's our heart. And the question is, does God know our hearts? So all men are tempted in all ways, whether a small temptation or a great temptation. And Satan can trick us with this to lead us away from God if we're not careful. So the world around us is not only tempted, but quite willing to fall to the temptation, almost to a man. But with us, we don't want to be like that. In 1 Corinthians 15:33, how many are there in the world that you know that are not willing to be rich if somebody would just push them a little bit toward it? 1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. Who are we around every day? That's why in 1 John 5:19, the Lord said the whole world lies in wickedness. Well, the whole world does lie in wickedness for several reasons. But how many in the world would not be willing to be rich if somebody pushed them on it? Let's turn to Genesis, the 11th chapter, Genesis 11. Let's read verses 5 through 9, Genesis 11. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. Does that sound like us today? And this they would begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. So we're in this position here that they were in. We can get a translation from almost any language in seconds on the internet. And so we're all speaking one language. And so he says, nothing that they have imagined will be restrained from them. And that's what we're finding today. Let us go down, and there confound their language, that they might not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. So now what happens? They're not able to do anything that they imagine to do because there are not enough people to get together to do it. Verse 9, therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth. And from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. So what does the Lord think of us being all of one language? And we imagine these things, we can do it, and what kind of people are we around every day? So the temptation is here to be like everybody else, and that is, the world really is willing, and some wish that they were rich, but they're not doing much about it, at least not at first. In Galatians, the 6th chapter, verses 7 through 9, the Lord warns us that we should not be deceived. Be not deceived, God is not mocked in verse 7. For whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. What is the world around us sowing? And we know it. But he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. What kind of people are we around today? But he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Where do we find those sowing after the Spirit? And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So we're going to be different than those around us if we are not willing to be rich. So Acts, the 7th chapter and verse 2, Acts 7 and verse 2. Remember that the Lord separated Abraham from his family. And he said, men, brethren, fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Charan. That's Haran in the Old Testament, and said unto him, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and come into the land which I shall show thee. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Charan. And from thence, when his father was dead, he removed him into this land wherein you now dwell. The Lord had a plan for Abraham to be separate from his people. So the church today in 2 Corinthians 6, 16 to 18, is also commanded to come out from among these people of the world. We don't want to have this evil communication where they are willing to be rich. 2 Corinthians 6, 16, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. That's not just talking about marriage. He doesn't mention marriage here, but it does include marriage. But it includes everybody else. Don't be unequally yoked, that is working together with unbelievers. For what fellowship, there's your yoke, hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Is there any? What communion hath light with darkness? So when the world is willing to be rich and we're around this kind of people and we have fellowship with them, what is going to happen to us? Don't be deceived, he says. What concord hath Christ with Belial? We need to recognize that there is a big difference between us and the world if we're really following Christ. Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? That just is the word unbeliever. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said. We're special. I will dwell in them and walk in them. God is with us, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So God is our God. We are his people. We belong to him. We need to come out from this kind of people and not have fellowship with them. Wherefore, come ye out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. Now, we're not physically separate. We're around them, but we don't have fellowship with them. We don't listen to their stories. We don't read their books unless we're in school or university. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. So if we do these things, the Lord says, I'll receive you. What if we don't? Well, he's making an offer to us, and if we're willing to be separate, we're going to have to be separate from these people that are willing to be rich. 1 Corinthians 5, verses 6 through 8. If we're around people willing to be rich, he warns us, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? So what chance does the lump have if it has leaven with it? Purge out, therefore, the old leaven. So if we're around this old leaven, what's going to happen? He says, purge out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. We are not to be willing to be rich. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. The world around us is not interested in sincerity and truth. They're interested in material things. We should stay away from that kind of people and not have fellowship with them. Now, as we are in this world today, we hear a motto around us, and let's see how this relates to being willing to be rich. Most of the Americans around us are set apart to make America great again. And our president is appealing to the world to say, let's make America great or greater. Well, what does that translate to? We find that America is judged by the GNP, that's the gross national product. And that's the amount of material things and money gained in the last year. So what percent of the previous year have we gained in this year? So what is the world centered on? And even this new thing that we like in this politics, we want a president that will stand up for Christianity, which he apparently is willing to do. But look at the basis that he has. America is judged by the growth of the stock market and Dow Jones Industrial Average. That's all to do with material things. Are we living in this world? Does evil communication corrupt? In Jeremiah 8, verses 9 through 11, Jeremiah 8, 9 through 11, why does everybody want a university degree? The wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken. Lo, they have rejected the word of the Lord, and what wisdom is in them? Why did that happen? Therefore, I will give their wives unto others, and their fields to them that shall inherit them. That's pretty serious warning. Why would he do that? For everyone, from the least unto the greatest, says, let America be great. I'm sorry. The greatest is given to covetousness, from the least to the greatest. So what are our people in our nation desiring to do? Now, we've got a different motive for wanting our president to win. He says, for they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. And why is there no peace? Because from the least, even unto the greatest, is given to covetousness. Everybody wants a little more or a lot more. So 1 Timothy 6, verse 10 and 11, after he warns us about being willing to be rich, he says, the love of money is the root of all evil. Now, if we don't love money just a little bit, what is it? Well, love of money is love of money. And if we're willing to be rich, do we love the money? Do we love the riches? The love of money is the root, and a root grows, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. And notice, he calls Timothy a man of God. And that's just like he gave for the prophets in the Old Testament. Why? Well, Timothy was different from the people in the world. He was not willing to be rich. He did not covet. And he was willing to serve God and leave all these people in the world. Thou, O man of God, flee these things. And if you turn to 1 Timothy, don't do it. Turn to 2 Timothy 3:17. He calls all of God's children men of God. And if we are men of God, we'll follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. And we'll say, let America be great again in making America Christian, followers of God and not covetous. In 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 and 2, the Lord wants us to pray for our nation, but not to make the nation great in the sense of material, but to have peace. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercession, giving of thanks be made for all men. That doesn't leave out anybody. For kings and for all that are in authority specifically. Why? That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. So where do we want America to be great? in being peaceable and godly and honest. We'd love our nation to turn to the Lord with all their heart. The Lord needs to open a door for us, if he will, to let us be able to speak about these eternal spiritual things. And I'm hearing more and more people being willing to talk about God and praise God. And even if it's a form of godliness, nevertheless, they're not being intimidated like we have been for the last 40 years. Proverbs 23, verses 4 and 5. Proverbs 23, 4 and 5. This really doesn't fit our scripture. He says, labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Why? Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. If they don't fly away before we die, when we die, they fly away. They're gone. 1 Timothy 6, verse 9. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 9 again. But they that are willing to be rich, they're willing to be rich, fall into temptation and a snare, into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Now, there doesn't need to be a great deal of work done. We just need to be willing to be rich. Turn to Ecclesiastes 5, verse 12, and notice what the wise man says. This is the wisdom of God, of course. Ecclesiastes 5, verse 12. The sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. So do we want to be in that position? Are we willing to be rich so that we are not allowed to get our rest? Ecclesiastes 5, 14. But those riches perish by evil travail, and he begets a son, and there's nothing in his hand. As he came forth of his mother's womb, naked shall he return to go as he came, and shall take nothing of his labor, which he may carry away in his hand. So we got nothing to carry away. Ecclesiastes 5, 16 and 17. And this also is a sore evil, that in all points as he came, so shall he go. And what profit hath he that hath labored for the wind? So considering our own lives, we come into this world, and we are doing something in this world. Then when we leave this world, if there's no change in our hearts, what have we got? Then we've wasted this entire life. But if we get our hearts changed until there's goodness in the heart of Christ in our hearts, then we have something to carry away, not in our hand, but in our hearts. And verse 17, here's what happens if we're willing to be rich. All his days also he eats in darkness, and he hath much sorrow and wrath in his sickness. God will consign us to this if we're willing to be rich. Ecclesiastes 5:11, when goods increased, they are increased that eat them. And what good is there to the owners thereof, saving the beholding of them with their eyes? So these men have all these riches in the bank, and they got billions of dollars. And what happens to their billions of dollars? Well, their goods increase. And then what happens? Then they're increased that eat them. They got to have slaves and servants to serve them. And he says, what good is there to the owners thereof, saving the beholding of them with their eyes? So verse 10, he that loves silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loves abundance with increase. This is also vanity. So if we get riches and we're willing to get them, are we going to be satisfied? We're not. We're never going to be satisfied no matter what we have. So we don't want to be even willing to be rich. In Romans 7, he tells us this stronger word, which the dictionary compared, and we find a determination in this word. For that which I do, Romans 7, verse 15. For that which I do, I not allow not. For what I would, there's your word, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, there's your determined not to do, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. Why? For to will, that's to determine, is present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. So he's determined to do what is good. For the good that I am determined to do, I do not. But the evil which I am determined not to do, that I do. Now, if I do that I'm determined not to do, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that when I'm determined to do good, evil is present with me. So you can see that this word is a strong word. It's saying I'm determined to be rich. But here, the word we're dealing with is acquiescence. We're willing to have somebody push us to do it. Well, Adam found out that was a little bit fatal when he was willing to eat the fruit. We don't need to be willing to be rich. 1 Timothy 6, verse 7, we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. So what good is all this wealth if we are having all this wealth and we're willing to have it? If we get more wealth, we have more responsibility. So Ecclesiastes 3:13, he tells us what is the good that we should seek, the things that are true riches. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 13, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy, that word is 7200, to see the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. So if we see the good of all the labor, there must be good in that labor. So seeing good in our labor requires us to do good. Doing good requires us to see good so we can do it. Ecclesiastes 5:18, behold that which I have seen, it is good and comely for one to eat and drink and to enjoy, there's your word see again, the good of all his labor that he takes under the sun all the days of his life, which God gives him, for it is his portion. So if we will see good in our labor, that's what God gives us as a gift. Well, we've got to seek that good and find it in order to do it. So seeking good is seeking God. This is the fear of the Lord. Ecclesiastes 5, 19 and 20. Every man to whom God hath given riches and wealth and given him power to eat thereof and to take his portion and to rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. So here's a rich man. He rejoices in his labor. Remember Solomon said he saw all his labor that was vanity, and he caused his heart to despair of all his labor. Well, he's a rich man. He rejoices in his labor. It's the gift of God to him. But then what happens? For he shall not much remember the days of his life, because God answers him in the joy of his heart. So then he dies, and what's he got in his hand? He's got nothing. Ecclesiastes 6, verse 6. If a man doesn't seek to find God's good, he won't find it. Yea, though he live 1,000 years, twice told, 2,000 years, yet hath he seen, there's your 7,200, no good. Do all not go to one place? So if we don't see good in our labor, what is this life to us? We've wasted it. 1 Peter 3:10-11, he quotes the fear of the Lord. 1 Peter 3:10. For he that will love life and see good deeds, why? Let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking guile. All right, we need to seek God. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. So the Lord in all these things is telling us this life is vain unless we fill our hearts with good. And in order to do that, we've got to seek God to find the good. So Psalms 34 is what Peter quoted here. Psalms 34, verse 11. Come, you children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Okay, here it is. What man is he that desires life and loves many days? Why? So he can see good. So here's a man that wants to live for this major purpose. He wants to find more and more good. What does he do when he finds it? He highly esteems it. Then what does he do? He turns away from the evil that he sees is not good. He wants good only. Keep thy tongue from evil, thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil. So we're finding good. We hate the evil. And then he says, do the good that you see. Seek peace with God and pursue it. So this is the fear of the Lord. It's no wonder the Lord says that this is the key to wisdom And wisdom includes eternal life. John 7, verse 17. A beautiful promise here from the Lord. If any man will do his will, he will know the doctrine, whether it be from God or whether I speak of myself. So God offers us, if any man will do his will, he will know of the doctrine. So if we're willing to do his will, then we will not be willing to be rich. And let me mention one thing here concerning our being willing to be rich, because Satan can catch us off guard if we're not careful. How many times have we been enticed to buy a ticket for the lottery? We don't do much about it, but in our heart of hearts, what are we doing when we buy a ticket, or if we buy a ticket for the lottery? So if we buy a ticket, in our heart of hearts, we are actually wishing to be rich. Does the Lord know our hearts? The Lord is not going to work with us. He'll give us over to Satan. He's warned us that this will happen. He that wills to be rich will fall into temptation, a snare. How does God know? He'll make him do it. So if we buy the lottery, then we're willing to be rich. We're leaving God. So what about gambling for money? Well, we gamble and everybody puts his money in the pot and everybody hopes to win. Why? They want that money. Are they willing to be richer? Gambling is willing to take the money. Now, question, if somebody gambles with us, do they really want us to win? Do they really want us to take that money in the pot? Or do they have to give it because they've been beaten by a rule that they agreed to? These people that give money for the lottery, do they all want to lose that money? Or do they really want to get that money back and yours too? Everybody is trying to get more. Are they willing to be rich? Just remember, they that will to be rich fall into temptation and snare, and into manifold wickedness, which drowns men in destruction and perdition. So let's be careful that we don't fall to this trick that Satan has. Let's be satisfied with food and clothing, and remember that we're building in the heart. Whether we have money or don't have money, we're still building in the heart. We're still living for God, living for His world in eternity. Will I have the closing hymn now?
Our closing hymn this evening will be Come Ye Children.
Come ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Peace and pursue it. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against